brief overview of some of the truths that the children learned over the week. And the days, day one, day two, and day three, kind of broke up into a outline that I'll present tonight. Day one, we talked about Saul prior to his conversion, Saul the persecutor of Christians. And then on day two, we covered Saul's conversion when he was saved from darkness into light. And then on day three, we looked at Saul that after his conversion, after salvation, he began to immediately and zealously serve the Lord. So we can begin with prayer. Father, we come to you now. We just thank you for this opportunity to look at your word tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to serve and teach our children here at Bible Baptist Church your word and to memorize, teach them to memorize scripture. I pray that you just bless this time that we look at your word tonight. And I pray that you'll be with us during the time of corporate prayer tonight as well. I pray that you'll be glorified. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we look at the conversion of Saul, there's two sides to his conversion. You see the Lord's appeal to the sinner, and the side with the sinner, and his responsibility to repent and have faith in Christ. But we also see in this story of Paul the part of the believer, the Christian's part, and how several different Christians had important roles in Saul's conversion. But first, we'll look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 54 through 60, and we'll look at Saul prior to his conversion. And we'll see Saul's part in this, and then we'll see one of the believers God used in Saul's conversion, Stephen. So I'll begin reading in verse 54, and it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he," this is Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And then verse 1 in chapter 8 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem." So we see here in this first aspect of first meeting, this person, Saul, we see that he was a wicked man who was consenting or agreeing towards the stoning and murder of Stephen. Now, Stephen, he was a church member in the Jerusalem church. We find at the end of this chapter 7, Stephen's finishing a lengthy sermon that he was preaching to the Jews. And we see in verse 54, it tells us, when they heard these things, the Jews, they were cut, or they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted by the word of God being preached by Stephen, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And it says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They stopped listening to the things that Stephen was saying. And in verse 57, it's referring to Stephen looking up into heaven as he's being stoned and seeing the glory of God, and he saw Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God. So we see Stephen's preaching this message to the Jews, and the Jews are pricked and convicted in their hearts, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And what did they do after that? They took Stephen's clothes, and they laid them at Saul's feet. So we see, and it tells us here that Saul, he was a young man. So we see Saul was responsible for this. Now in chapter 8, we see in verse 1, it tells us Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And then following Stephen's murder, we see this great persecution on the church of Jerusalem. So we can look in verse 2, and it says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul," in verse 3, says, "he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So we see in verse 3, Saul, he made havoc. He was seeking to destroy the Jerusalem church, which is the context of that word church here. And it tells us that he was entering into every house and hailing men. He was dragging men and women out of their homes and putting them in prison. So we see the ruthlessness of Saul here towards Christians, in particular Stephen, who was very bold in preaching the word of God, and then towards the corporate church, everybody in the church, everybody that is associated with Jesus Christ, he was persecuting them. Now, we know that the book of James and then 1 and 2 Peter are written, this is the context for those being written. This is the persecution that they're referring to, Peter and James would go on to write. So we see here that Saul, we see him, he was an evil persecutor. He was a ruthless man who persecuted the Christians. And in a human point of view, we could say he was as wicked of a person at that time could be in a Christian's perspective. He was murdering Christians for preaching the word of God. So we see this. So one of the things we relayed to the children this week was the reality for Christians to be persecuted for their beliefs. And we relayed to them that here in America, thankfully, we have freedom where we can meet and have a vacation Bible school. We can sing all sorts of songs about Jesus Christ and the church, and we can be open about these things. And we pointed out that if Saul had heard them having VBS singing about Lord Jesus Christ, it'd be a different story. There'd be severe persecution. And so we relayed these detailed truths to the children, and I think that was one of the benefits of our Vacation Bible School, is that we do lay out the truth for the children, that they get a good detailed teaching. So we see Saul as the persecutor of Christians. Now, our second point would be Saul's conversion. If we look over into Acts chapter 9, and it tells us in verse 3 and following, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." So we see here in this passage, Saul, or the Lord appears to Saul, and this is Saul who was just consented unto Stephen's stoning and death, and this is Saul who was persecuting the Jerusalem church and all these saints there. And the Lord is coming to Saul, this wicked, evil man, and he blinds him with a great light. And it tells us, going on, "And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here." So, as I mentioned earlier, there are two sides to Saul's conversion. We see Saul's responsibility to the Lord and to repent of his sins, but we also see how the Lord uses different believers. We saw how the Lord used Stephen. Stephen was being faithful to the Lord by preaching, boldly preaching the Word of God to the Jews in the face of Saul and these Jews that clearly their intentions were to hurt him. But here we see Ananias, and the interesting aspect of Ananias is, as we will see, how the Lord uses him. So, in verse 10 of chapter 9, it says, and he said, the Lord in a vision called Ananias, and Ananias said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So we see in this passage how the Lord uses Ananias. He calls Ananias and asks him to do a very difficult thing. And he tells him specifically, he says, I want you to go to this house and look for Saul of Tarsus. And we see Ananias' response in 13. He says, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So Ananias says, Lord, do you realize what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to go talk to Saul, this man who just openly murdered Stephen, and then went into all the saints at Jerusalem's houses and were dragging them into the streets and putting them into prison. And you want me to go meet him one-on-one in a house. And the Lord responded unto him, and he said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name and before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So the Lord tells Ananias, well, something new has happened. There's been a change. He's a chosen vessel unto me that I'm going to use to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. And then in verse 16 it says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Lord, we see in verse 17, Ananias obeys the Lord. He says, and it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see Ananias obeyed the Lord's command and went and met Saul of Tarsus. So this was another truth that we passed on to the children, that the Lord brought out that it's difficult for us to present the gospel at times. And in this case, it was difficult for Ananias to approach Saul, this great enemy of Christ. But we see that Ananias obeyed the Lord and went and met with Saul. And then on Saul's side, we see that Saul, he obeyed the Lord and went to this house in Damascus. And that's where he received his sight and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 18 it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So we see here, Saul, he received sight, he's saved, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and it tells us that he arose and he was baptized. So we see here Saul is saved and baptized into the Damascus church. Now we see this in Ephesians chapter 1. Just quickly, this example of salvation and then being filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we see here in Ephesians 1 that upon our salvation we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So that's just a little sidebar to emphasize this here in verse 18 and 19. So we see here a biblical example of salvation. We see Saul, he's saved, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's baptized, and he's a member there of the church in Damascus. Now the third point is that I'd like to bring out is that after Saul's conversion, he began to zealously and immediately serve the Lord. We can look in verse 19 and following, and it says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached," or immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, "that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Verse 23 says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." So one of the points we brought out, or see here in verse 20, is that Saul, upon his salvation and baptism into this church in Damascus, he immediately began preaching the Word of God. He immediately began preaching Christ. He immediately began serving in that church there. So we see this call for immediate service upon salvation and baptism, which results in being a member of a church. The other point we see here is that we see that Paul's old friends are no longer his friends anymore, but they're now his enemies. We see that in verse 21, the people of Jerusalem and the priest are saying, "Is this not Saul, the one who was just persecuting all the Christians in Jerusalem? What's he doing now here in Damascus preaching Christ?" And it tells us that Paul, he increased the more in strength and continued to confound the Jews. And then it tells us that the Jews, after many days of listening to this, they took counsel to kill him. So then we see that the Jews, they chase him out of Damascus, and Saul and the disciples, they take him, put him in a basket, and Saul took off to Jerusalem. Now, I'd like to read in verse 26 and 27. So, the Jews are in Damascus are after Saul to take his life. Now that he's been converted and he's immediately changed from his old ways. He's put off his old man, and he's his friends and his old acquaintances, they know that there's a difference, and this is not the same Paul that we used to know. So Saul, he takes off towards Jerusalem. So in verse 26 it tells us, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem." So here in verse 26, we see that Saul, he is now coming back to the place that he used to, his old stomping grounds, you might say. The place where he goes back to Jerusalem, where he was just previously persecuting the Jerusalem saints and persecuting the Jerusalem church. Just days before, he consented unto Stephen's death. He was there and just watched the Jewish mob stone Stephen to death. And then he was there and at the helm of leading all the men, dragging the Christians out of their homes in Jerusalem. And so now this Saul, the one who is persecuting them, is going back to Jerusalem, and he goes to the disciples, and it tells us they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So we see the Christians, we see their response, the Christians there at Jerusalem, their response to Saul. So at first, they didn't know that he was converted yet and that he was a member of the Jerusalem church. So they are all afraid of him. But then we see Barnabas. We see the role of Barnabas here. And it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. We see Barnabas here in Acts chapter 4. You can look, this is where we first see Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, where Barnabas sells his land and gives the feet to the apostles, or gives the money to the apostles. And it tells us, verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see this Barnabas now tells us he's the son of consolation or the son of exhortation. So it could have been that Barnabas' gift was the gift of exhortation. But we see here Barnabas, he takes Saul aside, knowing his new testimony. And he tells the other apostles how that Saul saw the Lord in the way, and the Lord had spoken to him, and then how he began to preach boldly at Damascus. And so Barnabas is coming alongside of Saul and telling the other apostles that Saul is now a Christian. He is now one of us, and he has a testimony to show for it. He's boldly been preaching at Damascus, and he's been chased here into Jerusalem. So we see, as for an example for us, for new believers, as Christians, we need to be like Barnabas and take new Christians in, new church members in, and encourage them in the way. And so we can learn some examples here from Barnabas. Now, we won't look into great detail right now, but we know that this was just the starting point for Saul. He was saved. He was trained for about 14 years until he began to go on his different missionary journeys. And we know that he went on three missionary journeys. His first was throughout Jerusalem and Israel, and then he went into Asia and into Greece on a second, and then on his third missionary journey, he kind of made paths through everywhere. And then we know that after his third missionary journey is when he was put under house arrest in Rome and started writing several letters. So we see Saul, and then he is named, Christ changed his name to Paul along the way. But we see this life of Paul, and in one sense, it depicts every Christian. We're horrible sinners who deserve hell. And Paul gives the extreme example of he was a horrible man who was ruthless towards Christians. But it shows that we're all sinners. And upon our conversion and baptism and membership in a church, that we need to immediately begin serving the Lord. And zealously serving the Lord. And we can learn several things from Stephen. Stephen, he boldly preached the Word of God in the face of knowing that he was going to be stoned for what he was saying. He was boldly preaching the Word of God to an angry mob. We can learn from Ananias, who obeyed the Lord in a hard way. He obeyed the Lord knowing, hey, this is Saul. This is the guy who is just persecuting all the Christians. You want me to go talk to him, Lord? And so we see Ananias and his role in Saul's conversion. And then we see Barnabas, how Barnabas took Saul in. He knew Saul's background and introduced him to the Jerusalem saints who needed that extra attention, being a little raw, knowing that this guy just dragged most of us out of our homes and put us in prison. And so we see how Barnabas came along Saul, who was a new Christian, who was forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, and introduced him and then helped him as he began to serve on his different missionary journeys. So these are several of the truths that we presented this week at Vacation Bible School. So the children learned a great bit. And then they learned it all summarized in a song. And so they can sing it to you, the story of Saul's conversion. And then we had the children memorize from the book of James. And I thought that was appropriate in the sense that the Jerusalem church, they had to forgive Saul for all that he had done with them. They had quite a history with Saul, so accepting Saul must have been a very difficult thing. But we see the book of James is James' letter of encouragement and instruction to the saints, persecuted saints at Jerusalem during persecution. I thought it was appropriate that the children would be able to see both sides in a good comprehensive look at Saul and his relationship to the Jerusalem church. And then meanwhile, we have James and Peter writing to the Jerusalem church on how to deal with this persecution. I hope this was a blessing to all of you, just getting this overview of the Saul's conversion and seeing what we were able to teach and instruct our children in this week. And, VBS is definitely a blessing to me, being able to participate and help serve and teach children there. And it's encouraging to see them learning these truths in such detail at a young age and being able to memorize scripture with a good contextual understanding at such a young age as well. So at this time, we'll close in prayer. And dear Father, we come to you now. We just thank you for this time. We thank you for being able to learn from your word tonight. We thank you for the different ministries here in Bible Baptist Church that we're able to serve in, Father. But Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and his blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we thank you that you save horrible sinners and that you can use us all as vessels for you, Lord, to serve you in any kind of way. And I pray that you'll just help each of us here to surrender to you, Lord, and to be committed to being filled with the Holy Spirit each day. And I pray that you bless the rest of this service and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.